Well, it's been a while since I've preached from Nehemiah, so we're now back into our series, continuing our series in the book of Nehemiah. This morning we'll be in chapter 8, verses 1 through 6, and then part of 18. So if you want to turn there, we'll be in Nehemiah 8 this morning. But before I begin, something's been on my heart this week, and well, really for the past month. Just want to give you guys some encouraging news about what God is doing. Though our church is small, we are mighty in how we love people and how we give. And so we had a meeting with my district boss yesterday, and Jeannie told me that we exceeded our missions giving. And I know that I need to do a better job talking about missions. And missions is a big part of my heart. It's a big part of our denomination. It's our middle name, Mission Area Alliance. But we raised over $12,000 in missions. And so I just want to praise you, church, for doing that. Though we're small, our hearts are big. And that's just out of the generousness of your heart and the generosity of our church. And so I just want to thank you guys for showing the love of people around the world, because that blesses not only missionaries, but that blesses people that are unreached. And so because you gave, people now can know the gospel. So I just want to share that with you this morning. Before another announcement, February 13th is Super Bowl Sunday. But before that, we get to celebrate our church and what God's been doing the past year, kind of give a reflection about what God's done, what he's doing, and what's the outlook going forward. And so that'll be kind of a vision casting Sunday, where I'll give a vision casting of what God is putting on our heart and how he wants us to reach our community. But something in that nature we'll be praying about. God put on my heart to have a VBS, and you might be thinking, Pastor, we don't have kids, or we don't have, teachers or that. But there's a ministry called Child Evangelism Fellowship. Some of you may be familiar with that. They have a VBS ministry where they're a parachurch. They come alongside churches, and they will actually lead VBS. So all we have to do is just be receptive to them and be welcoming, and so that frees us up to talk to the families and invite young people in the church. So I'm excited about that. That'll be in July, probably the first or second week in July. I have it on tentative dates, but it'd be awesome to be praying for that, because we need kids. Kids are the future of our church. And so there's a stat that says that between the ages of 4 and 14, that probably about 80% of kids, if they never hear the gospel between those ages, will probably never become a believer. And so I know that I received the Lord when I was 8 years old. Many of you probably did when you were younger. We know that we can come to the Lord at any time, but really the age gap or the window where people come to know the Lord the most is when they're young. And so just pray for that. Pray for how we can reach the next generation of people. And it'd be great to see young families. And I know eventually Chris and I will have kids, but until we do, we need to invite kids into the church, because God speaks highly of children in the Bible, and we need to have that. So let's pray about that this morning before we dive in the Word. God, we're thankful for this wonderful year. Lord, I'm coming up on a year anniversary in 5 short weeks, and I can't believe that's been a year. Lord, it's in a good way, it's felt like I've been here a long time, and this feels like home, because it is home. Lord, this is my family, Lord, and I love this church. But Lord, it's what a year it's been. There's been a lot of highs, there's been some lows, but Lord, no matter what, you've been in that. And so God, we just praise you that though 2021 has passed and we're now 3 weeks into the new year, you are still sovereign, you are God, and you're going to be God today. You're God yesterday, today, and forever. And so Lord, we pray as we outlook into 2022 that this year would be a year of fruitful ministry, a fruitful giving of our hearts, not just monetary, Lord, but how we love people. And Lord, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine that said, Matt, though you might have a small church, but they can be a small church with a big heart. And so, Lord, I pray that you just give us a big heart for people, and that people would know us by our love. That's what you say in Scripture, Lord, that they'll know that we're yours because of our love. And so, God, I pray that we'd be loving people, we'd be generous, and that we'd just be ambassadors of you everywhere we go. And so, Lord, I pray as I dive into Nehemiah, Lord, I pray that you convict our hearts of, in a good way, of the importance of Scripture, Lord, because this is the primary way, other than prayer, of how we get to know you. And so, Lord, I pray that as you use Ezra and Nehemiah's day to teach the word, I pray that you use me in a powerful way to teach these wonderful people. It's in your name I pray. Amen. So we'll be in Nehemiah 8, 1 through 6 and 18 this morning. So if you haven't got there, please do so. So I hope you all had a fantastic week. I missed you, as I mentioned this morning, and I'm feeling much better. I really did feel like I was going to die at some points last week, but God brought me through that. Today we're picking up our study in Nehemiah 8. But before I begin, I'd like to share with you a quote from Jerry Falwell. And some of you might know who Jerry Falwell is. He's the founder of Liberty University. His son is a little interesting, but Jerry was right on track in some things. I know he's more Pentecostal than a lot of Alliance pastors, but Jerry has a good quote on revival. He says this in revival. He says that revival is the visitation of God, which brings to life Christians who have been sleeping and restores a deep sense of God's near presence and holiness. I'll read that again. Revival is the visitation of God, which brings to life Christians who have been sleeping and restores a deep sense of God's near presence and holiness. Therefore, God, sometimes in history, wakes up people who have been kind of slumbering and asleep and awakes them to his presence and holiness. My mom is an alumni, I always get mixed up, of Asbury College, now Asbury University. And many of you may know of the great Asbury Revival in the early 70s, right, Mom? Early 70s? And so campus like shut down for like 5 days, and they just had a revival of the Lord just moved. The Holy Spirit just moved among the students. A lot of people came to know the Lord at that time. So God's done it throughout history. He's done it in the Bible. He's done it in our history with John Wesley and Jonathan Edwards, and had these great revivals. And even in Western Pennsylvania through the Quaker movement, there's been great revivals, and God can do it again. But just think about that. Sometimes in our walk or in history, sometimes we fall away from God for whatever reason. Sometimes it's sin, or sometimes it's just us and we get caught up. But we need to be in the Word of God, and so this is something to pay attention this morning. Especially in our spiritual lives, we need revival. We need revival today in our spiritual lives because we can grow weary of what is happening around us. Just take a look at our last, well, almost 2 years now. It's been an interesting 2 years. We saw a tremendous decline of people attending church altogether, or people who are on the fence about Christianity. Some people completely fall away from the faith, and some who are once Christians are now proclaiming not to be. Folks, the thing is, revival desperately needs to happen in our land to change the hatred, the disunity, and the bitterness that we've all seen over the past year. We're now going on 2 years of COVID and just chaotic stuff. Revival starts with truly hearing the Word of God and letting the Word permeate our various being in the depths of our soul. When we surrender to God, life change begins to happen. Remember that this morning. When we surrender to God, life change begins to happen. In a lot of ways, we're not all that different from what was happening in Nehemiah's day. Though they weren't facing a pandemic, they did face the government didn't allow them to worship our God fully. The Persian kings worshiped pagan gods, and were constantly berating, and the people of Nehemiah were constantly berated by naysayers and enemies that wanted them wiped from the face of the earth. If you recall in our study, you remember in kind of the first couple of chapters of Nehemiah, they were allowed to come back from exile. King Artaxerxes gave them the okay. They came back, but there were some naysayers. Basically, not only verbally, but physically, they had enemies that were not wanting them to be there. So, just like Nehemiah and his enemies, we in the church, unfortunately, have people like that. Sometimes there's naysayers who don't like what pastors do. You guys aren't like that, but sometimes in churches there are naysayers. Or even the enemy, Satan, tries to thwart God's plan of gospel movement in our world. And so Satan will do everything and anything that he can to thwart God's plan. And so we just need to be weary of that. But if we're not in the Word, we can't know how to fight against that. You see, there are a lot of things, just like in Nehemiah's day, the enemy tries to rob us and distract us from God's plan. In those moments, we become discouraged or can become complacent with the thought, this will never change. The Israelites were no different. It had been over 60 years since the Israelites truly obeyed the Lord and followed his word. Just imagine that. It had been 60 years since they obeyed God's word and they actually read it. And so they probably wondered why there was so much bitterness, anger, and destruction. Perhaps if they followed God's law, there wouldn't have been in that mess. But despite the mess and their sin, God had a plan to redeem them through his great grace. He brought them back, as we just talked about, from exile in Persia under the godly leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah. And Ezra and Nehemiah are both contemporaries under the same time. Nehemiah was tasked with rebuilding the wall, while respectively Ezra rebuilt God's temple. They were also tasked with rebuilding the spiritual lives of those under their leadership. I've often wondered, just like the Jewish people in Ezra and Nehemiah's day, that if we truly opened our Bibles and let God speak to us, I think we wouldn't see a lot of fighting and division in our church. And that convicted me when I was reading through this story, that if we actually took time to study Scripture and actually apply it to our lives, I think there would be a lot of peace in our world. But how can you know the heart of God without personally knowing Him? You can't. We have a great multitude of translations. There's probably thousands now, by now, of different Bibles. I mean, I personally like the NASB. This is NIV because I know you guys are used to this. My grandfather and my dad loved the King James Version. A lot of you like the New King James. The point being, there's a lot of translations, and we have all the access in the world to God's Word. But sadly, and even in my own life, and this is convicting for me, we don't read our Bible. I have like 20 Bibles at home. I have like 6 Bibles in my 20 Bibles in my home office. I have 6 Bibles in my pastor office here at church. Yet sometimes it's hard to read. And then on top of that, I have Bible translation software on my laptop that I can just type in and read the Bible. I have my tablet. I have my phone. I have every kind of tool there is. Yet sometimes I don't read my Bible. We're all like that. We have all this access, yet we don't read our Bible. It's a shame. It really is in my own life, and this is for me, convicting for me as well. But this is something, thankfully, that God can correct. This is what Nehemiah and Ezra set out to do in Nehemiah 8. They read the law of the entire Israelite nation, hoping that hearing the law, God would move mightily among his people, hopefully righteously convicting them of sin and showing them who he actually was, a loving God that has a purpose for each and every single one of our lives. I must confess at times I struggled to read my Bible. I have had over 8 years of professional training in the Bible. I've had many classes in Greek and Hebrew, and I've had almost every class in the Bible. I'm no expert, but I've had a lot of classes where the Bible was read. Yet, I didn't really read it for personal devotion or to know God. And so I just want to let you know that morning that I struggle with that even in school. Being in Bible college, it's funny, Bible is in the name of Bible college. Yet sometimes when you're in that realm of higher education, you can get kind of caught up in doing this as a task. And so I struggle with that almost all through seminary and through college. And even today I wrestle with that. Like, God, it's not just an academic work. This is your glory. This is for you. And so I know some of us struggle with that. But I just want to be transparent with you this morning. Even in the midst of going to Bible college and studying the Bible to be a pastor, I struggle with this. So if you're struggling with apathy and not wanting to read it, I get it, because I've been there. But when we don't read our Bibles, we miss out on what God's plan is in his redemption story of how he brought Jesus into the world. We also miss out on how he wants to use us in his story, history. So my prayer for us in 2022 is to take the Word of God seriously, because it is life-giving. It's the very Word of God, as the Bible tells us, that Jesus is the little Word of God, and it brings us comfort, peace, and strength, and help in times of trouble. So the Bible is more than just an ancient book. It's God's living word, and because it's his word, it gives us life and a perspective far better than any modern philosophy or secular commentary can. So let us be devoted to studying his word this year, because your life will change for the better. Only if you let God move in your heart through his word. This is what was happening through the preaching of the word in Nehemiah chapter 8. The teaching of the law was going to spark revival and righteously convict the hearts of those who had fallen asleep to hear the voice of God. Like Nehemiah, God can move this way today, as we just have to be obedient and yielding to his scripture and his word. And we need to let God permeate our lives through hearing of scripture. It's one thing to study scripture, but it's another thing to let God use it in your heart. So let us be reminded of that this morning. So if you haven't already done so, let us turn to Nehemiah chapter 8 and follow along as I read to you. But before I read Nehemiah, let us pray. And hopefully you're hearing the Lord move this morning, and I'm hearing him move through the conviction of reading the Bible. God, I'm grateful that you made a way for us to know you, Lord. Not only did you personally send Jesus, God, that you personally had people write your word. This is your testimony of how you're faithful and good to us. And God, it is sad that even pastors and even faithful Christians who've been walking with you for many, many years, God, that sometimes we don't dust off our Bible, or a lot of them stay on the shelf. And God, I pray that that we'd be hungry for your word, Lord, that that your word be life-giving. Lord, we know that you gave manna in the desert to the Israelites there, you know, coming out of Egypt. But God, I pray that this would be bread, Lord. This would be our nutrition, our spiritual nutrition from you, God, because your word gives us hope, it gives us life, and it gives us peace, and it gives us security of knowing who you are and who we are in you. And so, Lord, I pray this morning as we read through Nehemiah that we'd be convicted of the revival that took place. I read the law for 8 days or 7 whole days, God, constantly. And you were in that, but Lord, I don't know if you're going to have us here for 7 days, or I don't, hopefully not with the weather, but I pray that the point being, Lord, that they took the word of God seriously. And so I pray you just bless the scripture reading this morning. So Nehemiah 8, the word of the Lord. When the 7th month came, and the Israelites had settled in their own towns, all the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. Notice this. So these people had been kind of away from the Lord for 60 years, had not been really walking closer with him. They asked, they begged Ezra to read the word of the Lord. This blows my mind. They begged Ezra. Ezra was, you know, he wasn't really a prophet. He was more of a spiritual leader, kind of like a pastor of the Israelite nation. But they begged him to read. It was Ezra's job to read the word, but these people who had been kind of walking away from the Lord beg him to read. So just pay attention to that this morning. So verse 2. So on the first day of the 7th month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. So this is important. So this wasn't just a group of random people. This was everybody in the whole assembly of who was current in Jerusalem. So it wasn't just a Bible study of random men or random women. Like, even kids were there to hear the word. And so, just want to point that out this morning, that everyone that was able heard the word. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform, kind of like this podium, and built for the occasion. So they had a special podium built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, Messiah, I love Hebrew, and on his left were Pedadiah, Mishael, Micaiah, Hashem, Hashbadanana, wow, Zechariah, and Meshullam. Then Ezra opened the book, and all the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as it opened, the great people, all the people stood up. And so I don't know if any of you have been in a kind of an older church, like Episcopal church or Methodist church. Back in the day, they had like a rector, where they'd actually read the word of the Lord, and so the priest would like walk up, this little like stair thing, and he'd read the word over people. And it wasn't meant, and a lot of people thought, well, is the priest higher than me? No, but the point was, the word of God is over us because we're submitted to the word of God. And so I actually had an opportunity to speak at an Episcopal church where they had that. I'm like, that's like 100 stairs up there. How do I get up that thing? And so I was worried about falling. Like, this church was like 200 years old. I'm like, worried about falling and whatever, like, am I going to fall to my death from this little thing? But the point being that the word of God is serious, and that's why they had this platform built, because the word of God reigns over our life. And so that's just something to point out, a modern-day example. And so I'll go back to verse 9. Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest, and the scribe, and all the Levites who were instructing the people, said to them, "This is the day that is sacred to the Lord. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And so God was moving at this point, right? He was convicting the people of their sin and convicting of them from not walking with him. But notice what Ezra says in verse 9. He says, "Do not mourn or weep, for this is a time of praising God." And so though that they were, that God was righteously so convicting them, he told them to praise the Lord, for this is a joyous occasion. So if you're dealing with sin this morning, know that though it may sting when God convicts us, but there's hope and revival in him. And so just remember that this morning. So he says, "Do not weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law." Nehemiah then said in verse 10, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who had nothing prepared. This day is sacred for the Lord, and do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." I just love that verse. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So whatever you're facing this morning, remember that God's joy is a constant strength. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve." And then we'll pause there this morning. And so it just blows me away that, you know, for 60 years, these people struggled with, you know, like we do. We struggle with sin every day, some form or sometimes unknowingly. But it just blows me away that for such a time as that time, that God, after 60 years, brought these people in revival, and they were begging Ezra to read the law. I'm like, I wish people would do that at church. Like, we should read our Bible more. And it's convicted me of that this morning. Like, God, like, thank you for pointing this scripture out to me. Because we need to be in the Word. So this brings me to my first point this morning. Or my first and only point, rather. The completion of the wall sparks interest of learning the Word of God. In Nehemiah chapter 8, as I mentioned, we find ourselves 6 days after completion of the wall of Jerusalem, which we know from our study was a painstaking ordeal. Men, women, and children all had a role to play in rebuilding of this wall. And the men literally had to build the wall with one sword in one hand, had a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other, and had to literally fight off the enemy if it so be to happen. They made it through. So up until this point, they made it through verbal and physical threats of danger, and now can take a step back and reflect the miracle that God had allowed them to be a part of. The miracle just doesn't stop at the wall. The miracle is furthered in the preaching of Ezra, Nehemiah's counterpart in chapter 8. Well, not really just chapter 8, but the whole book of Nehemiah. The completion of the wall piqued people's interest in wanting to study God's word. And so it's interesting that, you know, it took a really, really miraculous amount of time, a short amount of time, to build the wall. When you think of Jerusalem is a pretty decent-sized city, even in ancient times. But even now, I mean, it's a lot bigger than it was. But it took, I think it's under 100 days. I don't know the exact time for off the top of my head, but it was under 100 days, I think, they built the wall. And so it took, amazes me. It takes, like, a couple months to a year to build a house, but let alone, like, it took, like, under 100 days to build the wall of Jerusalem. Like, this thing is massive. I'll have to give you a picture sometime the wall has been reconstructed, of course, because of war and stuff over many years, but this thing is massive. It's not like it's a little, like, fence. You know, it's not like a white picket fence. This thing is massive. It's out of stone and masonry work, and it stood the test of time. Like, it even withstood the Roman destruction of the temple, and I've seen the wall. So it just blows me away that in less than 100 days, they're able to build this mighty wall to secure Jerusalem. So one could be perplexed of how important that this wall was and the miracle that God allowed it. So because of the miracle, people were prompted to study his word. It's interesting how it happens in life. That something miraculous, often we turn to God. We should always turn to God, but usually that's how God sparks revival in our hearts. When something drastic or good happens, we turn to him. So the text tells us in Nehemiah 8, the people told Ezra to read the book of the law, and Ezra obliged and did so. Now this wasn't simply quoting scripture or speed reading through the text. Ezra read the entire law of Moses. That's 5 books of the Bible. And Nehemiah tells us in 18 that Ezra or 8:18 that Ezra read the book of the law for 7 days, 7 whole days. I don't know about you, but I struggle to read my Bible for 30 minutes, let alone 7 days straight. So I can imagine. So if you guys are wondering how long that is, 7 days is 192 hours of nonstop Bible reading. I struggle to preach for 45 minutes. But let alone Ezra read the book of the law for 192 hours straight. I don't know if he ate. I don't know what happened, but God moved for 192 hours. So God can move in 192 hours. God can certainly move in our life for 30 minutes or even 45 minutes. And so it just blew me away. 192 hours, that's a lot of reading. And I don't even have that attention span let alone 30 minutes for 192 hours. I'm like, God, I don't know if I could read that long, but God is gracious and sufficient and how he deals with us. So based on this passage, we see the importance of and careful adherence to the careful study of the Word of God. Could you imagine for a second if everyone in Butler gathered to hear the reading of the Word of God? Surely lives would be changed. But what sticks out from this text is the longing and passion of the people and wanting to study the Word that blows me away, especially when it was a large assembly of people. As I mentioned before, this wasn't some Bible study of, you know, not random, but it wasn't the religious elite. These were every common day people, men, women, and children. They wanted to read the Bible because they wanted to hear what God had to say. So reading this makes me ponder if I'm taking his word seriously enough in my own spiritual life. It's honestly a heart check, and it should be for all of us. A heart check as to if I or we are taking the word of God seriously in our own life. We know that this wasn't the only instance of public reading of Scripture, as we see from Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 31, and Timothy, Paul's protege, also preached publicly. So did Jesus. We know Jesus preached publicly in his ministry, and even we were talking in the car yesterday, did Jesus ever preach in a boat? I'm like, well, yeah, he did. He preached several parables in a boat, at least one instance of that. So we know that Scripture was declared in public. So from this text, we can clearly see the heart of God the heart of God and his people to hear from him. That's why we come to church. That's why we come corporately as a body. And I know some people can't come, you know, because of various reasons or snow, as we have in a few hours. But there's a very important reason why we come to hear and gather in person, is because we come to hear from God. This isn't Matt speaking. This is God. Like God, when I read the word, that's God's word. I'm just his mouthpiece. I'm God's vessel of how he wants to use me in his ministry. So that's why we come to church. We come to church to expect to hear from God and to hear him move through us and through his word. And so that's why these people came to hear from Ezra. So we come to church not only to fellowship with one another, we also come to encourage one another through life's highs and lows. Well, we should always come with the expectation of hearing from God. The word of God is the main method of how God speaks to us, which is from the Bible. And I think if we're all in the Bible more, our outlook on life would be a lot better and different, but our attitudes and how we relate to one another, or how we perceive our world, would be vastly different. The great Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon says, the more you read the Bible and the more you meditate on it, the more you'll be astonished about it. And it's true. The more that we read the Bible, the more we discover the will of God and our purpose in this life and how to live and be like Christ in our dying world. If we don't spend time with God, then you won't know him. That's plain and simple. So if you truly desire to meet God and know him as your Lord and Savior on a personal level, dust off your Bible and read about God's redemption story. Research from the Palance Foundation says that in the 2 billion Christians in this world, only 20% will read their entire Bible. That's their lifespan from, you know, being a little kid to when they go to be with the Lord. And on top of that, 80% of Christians, being, even though we're not really a majority religion anymore in the United States, 80% of American Christians will only read their Bibles on a Sunday morning. Think about that. They will only ever read their Bibles on a Sunday morning. How sad is that? I'm definitely convicted by that, both stats. I have many Bibles, as I mentioned, and I have many tools, yet sometimes the priority of reading Scripture isn't in my heart. The priority of sitting with God uninterrupted and hearing and learning from him. I know for me, and perhaps for a lot of you sitting here, sitting still isn't easy. I don't know if I have ADHD, but I struggle with sitting still. I always have. Ask my mom. I have a difficult time of growing up and sitting still and truly hearing from God, even in a sermon, Growing up, I didn't really like children's church. It was kind of hokey. The lady was really good, but she sang these really interesting songs, and I later learned that it was the song El Shaddai by Amy Grant. Actually, I love that song now, but I was a little kid, like, what are we singing? This is some weird Hebrew song. I didn't know. I was a little kid. But we had a dynamic preacher who really taught the word of God. It wasn't about him, but the way Pastor Dan Miller taught the word, as a little boy, it made me want to sit in those sermons. And so I was engaged to learn Scripture when I was little. But still, there'd be times where I played with my brother in sanctuary, or we run around, and we wouldn't cause chaos, but we run around in the back of the sanctuary or whatever. But I just wish, even my growing up years, I would have found more focus, but I can always start over, and we can always start over. And so that's the point. So perhaps many of you may struggle with physically reading your Bible, but thank God that it's 2022. It's not 80-10. They had Scripture, but you know, they only had like scrolls, and you know, they didn't have the printing press yet. That would come about 300 years later. But we have technology where we don't have to just physically open our Bible. There's something to be said about reading your actual Bible, but if you struggle like me, there's tools that we can read our Bible. We have audio Bibles. We actually have some in the church office, so if you are interested, we have that as a resource where you just listen to someone read the Bible. I find it, for me, that it's easier to listen. I'll open my Bible and I'll read along, but it's easier for me to listen to someone read it than me, because sometimes I get distracted by my own words or my own thoughts, and so it's just it's soothing and calming to have someone read to me. Perhaps you don't know how to read your Bible. I found that's more commonplace than not, and that's kind of sad because that shows that pastors should have been better at teaching how to read the Bible, but some of us don't know how. And so a lot of these things can get us discouraged, but that shouldn't be a reason why we shouldn't read. So hopefully this message is connecting with your heart this morning, and that we need to open our Bibles to hear from God, because His Word gives us life and hope. His Word also gives us a perspective of our world that only God can give. But if we don't know His Word, then we can't know or make sense of our world. If we don't know God, if we don't know His Word, then we can't know God. We can certainly try, but we will fail without God. That's just the truth. So this morning, perhaps you haven't read your Bible in a while because you feel like God hasn't spoken to you, or that you were never really taught, as I mentioned, how to read the Bible. On that note, I want to encourage you this morning to come to our Bible study on Thursday. We're opening the book of John, and we're learning how to read together. And so that's something God put in my heart, that we corporately need to read the Word more, because that's how God teaches us. So if you're able, come join us on Thursdays. Perhaps that's the starting point you need. You just need help reading your Bible, and I'd be glad to help you. And a lot of you saints are more seasoned in your understanding of Scripture than I am. A lot of you have been walking with the Lord more than I have. I've only been a believer for 18 years. And a lot of you have been on this earth longer than I've been alive. So you've been walking with the Lord more than I have, just because of time. So if you're struggling with not feeling like you know how to read, or you don't feel like God is speaking to you, I encourage you to read the Bible, because you will hear from God. Sometimes it's not how we want him to communicate to us, but God will speak to us if we let him. We just need to open our Bible and let him speak. So one method, it's kind of small on the screen, but one method of Bible study is called the SOAP method. Many of you might recall me mentioning it last year. I had them out in the back foyer as kind of a tool. So if you're interested in that, I'll get you another one. But the acronym SOAP stands for Scripture, Observe, Application, and Prayer. So we know the point of Bible study is to study Scripture, right? And so we got to start somewhere. And so observe. So this method, this tool, has observation questions to ask, like, what is the text saying? Who's the audience? What's the main message? And so it kind of helps you focus your time. And application. I know pastors are great about preaching and talking, but sometimes they're bad about applying the text to our lives. And so this method focuses questions on how can I make what's saying here, you know, many, many years ago, how does that apply to my current situation? So that's just a tool. And obviously, we should always pray. We should pray to ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate, to make sense of what we're reading. And so that's just another tool. So the point of any Bible study is just to read our Bibles to hear from God. And so this is just another tool to do so. Or perhaps you have no idea where to start. So thankfully, we have yearly Bible reading plans. I think all the old hymnals actually have Scripture, you know, monthly Scriptures and what to read. But there's resources available online. I'll make some available for church. But if you just need somewhere to start, we're only a few weeks into January, but you can start. So some of these Bible reading plans start in Genesis 1, and they'll go through the whole book of the Bible. Sometimes it takes, you know, several years, but don't feel like you need to read all the Bible in one sitting. That'd be a lot. I mean, we could embody Ezra. I mean, he read for 192 days or 192 hours straight, so we could do it. But if you struggle with that, don't try to do that in one bite. So but there's my point being, there's tools. And so I'd love to see our church become a church that loves God. We all love God, but church loves God. A church to be literate in reading the Bible. It's sad how many people claim to be Christians, but they don't actually know what they're reading. And so I want us to be a devoted church to the Word of God, because sadly, the Word of God in churches is being read less and less, and it's being preached less and less. And so I don't want us to ever waver from that. So if we're going to be known, let us be a loving church that loves God, loves our neighbors, and loves the Word of God. And so let's never fall away from that. As long as I'm your pastor, I will never let us do that. So let us come reading with the expectation that God has something to say to us, and that He wants to use His Word in our life to change our hearts, to encourage others with the gospel, and that He has something in store for our lives when we turn the pages of our Bible and just listen to Him. I hope this sermon resonated with you this morning, as we all need to read our Bibles and hear from God, not just corporately as the body of Christ, but individually as well. Let us pray, and I'll invite the worship team up to sing a closing song. But before we pray, I'd like to share with you this quote. And it says, regular studying of God's word will help us grow and strengthen our faith. It is only through the word of God that your faith will grow. We know that from Apostle Paul's statement in Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. This means your spiritual muscles will grow when you hear the word preached and when you study it. Let us pray. God, I know you're moving this morning. I know you always move. But Lord, I pray that those within my earshot would hear the importance of studying Scripture, Lord, because you gave it to us. It's your life manual of how to make sense of this world. Lord, it's your love story for us. It's your redemption story of how, though the fall happened to Adam and Eve, that you'd have a son, Lord, that would come and crush the serpent's head, which we know was Jesus. The son is the promised son was Jesus. And Lord, the whole Bible is a testimony of how you are bringing the longing Messiah, and that though he conquered sin, one day he's coming back to rule our world. And Lord, he's coming as a conquering king and a white horse, Lord, and I can't wait to that one day we might be here when he comes back, but Lord, we know that as believers, we know that our salvation, if we believe and confess that you are Lord and Savior, that we will be with you. And Lord, and I pray that we wouldn't miss out on this life, that though our salvation is eternally secure, Lord, that we wouldn't miss out on the life that you want us to live, Lord, that though we're saved unto you into heaven, as the great Pastor Tony Evans says, we're saved eternally to you. We're also saved to bring about your glory and redemption here on earth. And you're the vessels that you use to bring about your word and good news. So, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just stop at salvation, but that we'd long for studying your word. So, God, that I pray that that would be our passion this morning, that we take the word of God seriously because you gave it to us as a gift, but it's also how we get to know you. So, Lord, I pray that we get to know you this morning, and I pray that that people are blessed by you this morning. And Lord, I pray as we enter and close in this song that you just touch our hearts this morning. So I pray and keep us safe as we go. Amen. Let us stand in our final song. You're holy, you are faithful, you are Savior, you are friend, you're all I've ever needed, you are. You're every question's answer, you're every reason why, you're moving, you are still, Lord, you are. You are the Lord on high. You are the way, the truth, the life. You are the Word made flesh. You are the bright morning star. You are. You are glory. Hallelujah. Your hope of peace on earth, your Alpha and Omega, you are. You are comfort, you are refuge, your love personified, your kindness and compassion, Lord, you are. You are the Lord on high. You are the way, the truth, the life. You are the Word made flesh. You are the bright morning star. You are my God and my King. You are the words that I sing. You are the reason I make this offering. You are my God and my King. You are the words that I sing. You are the reason I make this offering. You are the Lord on high. You are the way, the truth, the life. You are the Word made flesh. You are the bright morning star. You are the Lord. You are the bright morning star.
You are God and my King. You are the words that I sing. You are the reason I make this offering.
You are my
God and my King. You love the words that I sing. You are the reason I make this offering.
You are
the Lord on high. You are the way, the truth, the life. You are the Word made flesh. You are the bright morning star.
As we close this morning, I'd like to read you part of the Shema, which comes in Deuteronomy 6. This is our benediction. This is what Moses says to the people of Israel. These are the commands and decrees and the laws your Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and your children's children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all these decrees and commands that I give you, and so you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God, the Lord is one. And be careful to obey, so that it may be going well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord your God, your father, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. The love of the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts, and impress them on your children, and talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, when you get up in the morning. Tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and your gates. And so the Jewish people, even today, but even back in ancient times, the people would literally take pieces of scripture, and they'd wrap them up and put them on bracelets in their hand and their forehead, and they still do this today. And so the importance I'm trying to make today, folks, is that we need to study God's Word, not just to memorize scripture, just to do a chore, but to memorize it because that's how God speaks to us and that's how He encourages. So I just pray this morning that you just take time to spend time with God when you go home this afternoon or evening and just rest in His presence. And so I pray that you all have a safe journey home. I pray that the snow wouldn't be so bad this afternoon and then in tomorrow morning. But I just pray that you're blessed by the Word of God today. And so on that note, you're dismissed. But I want to let you know that we'd like to have some help moving our Christmas tree, because it's time for the Christmas tree to go down. I love Christmas, but if you're able to stick around, we'd love for you to help us. So you're dismissed, and have a blessed week.